Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Today we're continuing our new series, Liking the Ones You Love. You know, it can be hard sometimes to like the people you love. Last week, we talked about liking your kids. They're awesome, but sometimes they're not awesome. Next week, we're going to talk about our friends, our roommates. What do you do when they're hard to like? And it may be especially difficult to like the people you are stuck in, shut in with. Today, your spouse, and I have my spouse with me today. In addition to being my wife, she is a marriage and family therapist, and so she's got some awesome wisdom to share with us. Now, you might think, well, you're a pastor, she's a marriage counselor, you guys probably have the perfect marriage. You don't know my situation like mine is. Well, we might actually know how you are too. In fact, a couple years into our marriage, a while ago, one night we were laying in bed and I thought she was asleep and I was half asleep when Jen said, "Vince?" I said, "Yeah." And she said, "I don't like you." Sometimes it's hard to like the people you love. And we know what it's like to be in a marriage that's struggling. Honestly, we've been married for about 26 years now. And our first year of marriage was tough. Our fifth year of marriage was tough. Our 15th year of marriage was tough. But most of the rest has been really good, and the last 10 years have been awesome. And so we know what it's like to be in a marriage that is struggling, and we know that there is hope, that you can turn your marriage around. And with that, I want to have Jen talk for most of the rest of our time. She's got more wisdom and experience to share. She helps couples turn their marriages around every day. So, Jen, let's start with what you might say to a couple. You're counseling them, and they love each other, but they're really struggling to like each other right now. What might you start with them as you counseled them?
One of the first things that I would say is, what drew you together as a couple in the first place? Most of us don't just end up married. We date for a while and we hang out. We get to know each other.
Unless we have arranged marriages, but keep going.
Assuming that you don't have an arranged marriage, you started out probably as friends. So returning to that foundation, for us, we were very much friends before we got married. And so one of the things that helped us was returning to that friendship, remembering that you like actually like each other and that you chose this person.
Yeah, it's interesting in that I said our fifth year of marriage was hard and we decided to get marriage counseling. This was before you were a marriage counselor. Mm-hmm. And so we went into the marriage counseling and we felt, I mean, things were bad, honestly. It was like, this is not good.
Yes.
And so the first session, the marriage counselor said, "Well, did you used to enjoy each other? Did you used to enjoy your marriage?" And we're like, "Yeah, it was great." And he said, "Okay, why don't you do the things you did back then?" And we're like, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, did you used to go on to dates? What did you used to do?" And we talked about what we used to do when things were good. And he said, "Why don't you do those things again?" And honestly, we didn't really want to. It was like, no, we don't like each other right now. That's not the person I want to spend time with. But we saw the wisdom in it. In fact, there's a verse in the Bible where Jesus is speaking. It's in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. And Jesus says, "Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first." And he's talking there about our relationship with God, that sometimes the reason our relationship with God loses that love or loses that passion is because we stop doing the things we did at first. But that principle can apply to any relationship, including marriage. And so we started doing the things we did at first, and it was incredible how fast our marriage, which at that time felt like it had no hope, turned around. And so if you were counseling somebody and you were telling them, man, do some of those things that built your friendship, what might some of those things be?
So I think depending on your situation, starting small, like don't go on a huge vacation together thinking that it's going to save your relationship. Start with a few minutes on the couch, like just talking. Don't do huge things because you're trying to build like something that is sustainable.
And one step at a time,
exactly.
Baby steps.
Yep. So couch time. For some couples, I'll say give me 15 minutes a night where it's just you and your spouse. You're sitting on the couch, no kids, no technology, no TV. And spend that time talking with one another, making up stuff as you go along if you have to, if it doesn't come natural to you. Going on walks together, especially during this quarantine, we've seen couples all over our neighborhood walking. And so it's those kinds of little things.
Yeah, that counselor told us, he said, did you used to do dates? And we said, yeah, we used to do dates. He said, go on a date again. And it was funny, the first time I was like, this is just gonna be awkward. We're not in a place where we wanna go out on a date, which is weird because we used to love dates. And the first one was awkward. It wasn't like, oh yeah, this is great. It was weird. And the second one was pretty awkward. And the third one was just a little awkward. And the fourth one was like, pretty good, and the fifth one was great. And then, so don't get frustrated if, you know, at first that couch time or that walk or going out on a date, don't get frustrated if it's like, well, the magic's not there. We didn't find that love, because it may take a bit and it may come back kind of slow. Mm-hmm. When you said couch time, 15 minutes, I did not think you were going to say talk. I was like, ooh, this, no, but no, okay.
Of course you would think that.
Talk time, gotcha.
Yes. Just talking.
So one of the things I know that you say to couples, and I've been interested when you talk about how to get to a better place in marriage is solve your solvable problems.
Yep.
And I remember the first time I heard you say that, I was like, what do you mean by that? So what do you mean by that? Maybe you're watching and you're like, our marriage is not where I want. We don't like each other. Mm-hmm. You might say solve your solvable problems. So what does that mean?
So John Gottman is one of the best marriage researchers, writers. If you can get a book of his, do it. He's amazing. And that's one of his big things is solve your solvable problems. There's so many things that happen on a daily basis between couples that like are no big deal, but become this huge issue. So look at the problems that you have and solve the ones that are easy to solve. If your husband leaves the toilet seat up and you hate it, fix that. That's easy. Be nice and put your seat down. If your wife is drives terribly and it is a constant source of problem between you, maybe you should drive instead of your wife. Honestly, that's what we do. I drive because it causes problems when Vince drives and it causes anxiety. And so it's just, we solve that problem. Jen drives. It's awesome.
It's not necessarily awesome, but it works.
And it so works.
The problem is I'm a much better driver than her, and she just doesn't recognize that.
He is
that.
Reckless.
And so, keep going with this, because I like this idea. Mm-hmm. So solve your solvable problems. Because I think, so there's a thing I've heard that, you know, if you get shot with a, this may not apply, but if you get shot with a BB, it stings a little, but it's okay. But if you get shot with a shotgun shell, you get killed. But a shotgun shell is actually a collection of BBs. And so I think a lot of times what happens in marriage is we have these huge, volatile, you know, problems and fights, but really there's a lot of BBs that we've been storing up that we haven't dealt with. Yeah. And so things become bombastic, they become nuclear, but if we just deal with them one at a time and fix the things we can, maybe nothing ever becomes that big and that dramatic.
Yeah. And so I would recommend do this on your own first, kind of take out a sheet of paper and write down all of those things, the little BBs, those little things that bother you, and then have your spouse do the same and then come together and talk about them. You might have some that are the same, which then that becomes even easier because you both are unhappy with that particular situation. But by doing it yourself, you can really take time to reflect and pray through, okay, what is actually bothering me? And is it him or is it something else? And so just kind of taking an inventory on your own first is helpful because then you can come together and it's not a huge fight. It's like, no, we have a piece of paper in front of us that we're reading. It's more contained.
Yeah. I would encourage you when you make that list and as you talk about it. So there's a verse in the Bible that says, it's talking about relationships and marriage and everything, and it says submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that I'm going to be humble in this relationship, and I'm going to kind of put myself under you, submit to you, that I'm not going to try to get my agenda and my will. I'm not going to try to win. I'm going to try to serve you. And so it'd be easy to write that list and go into it of, I'm going to show you why you're the problem with all these things, and I'm going to win, and I'm going to be, you know, that is not an attitude that's going to help you to like each other and help you to get to a better place in your marriage. Mm-hmm. And so we want to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Reverence for Christ, meaning that the motivation for me serving you is God. And so maybe you haven't made me feel like I want to serve you. Maybe right now, mm-hmm, I don't want to serve you for your sake, but I will serve you for Jesus' sake, right? Jesus came, he served me, he laid down his life for me, he died for me, and I did not deserve that from him. And so maybe you've sinned against me in our marriage. Well, that's what I did to Jesus, and he served me anyway. And so we're going to go into this this time of, hey, what are the problems? And are some of them solvable? Some of them, yeah, might be difficult. But mm-hmm, right now, what are some we can go, that doesn't need to be a problem, we can fix that. But we're going to enter into it with a humble spirit of serving each other and submitting to one another because of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So another thing I've heard you talk about, and I think you talk about in, I'm never in her marriage counseling sessions, but I know you talk about, is kind of becoming a student of your spouse and how that can help you in your marriage. So what, yeah, would that look like?
One of the things that I recommend is there's this great website called 16personalities.com. And it's a really fun way to get to know not only yourself, but your spouse, your kids too, honestly. It helps you to realize and see how they are created and wired so that you can begin to understand that it's not like Vince is the problem. He's not wrong. He's just different than me. And I am made and wired in a different way than him. And I need to understand that so that I'm not taking offense. You know, like for us, one of the big ones is when you take that test, you get 4 different letter results.
So you may have heard the test sometimes called the Myers-Briggs or the type personality type. Mm-hmm.
So Vince is a T, which is a thinker, and I'm an F, which is a feeler. So I hear things through a lens of feeling. I don't want to hurt his feelings. I care about my feelings and everybody's feelings. Well, he doesn't as much. And it's not that that's wrong. For years, I really thought he's wrong. But once I really understood personalities and how God made him, I realized he's not wrong. He's just different. Truth is very important to him. It isn't to me in the same way that it is to you. And so that's just a small example of how really learning and understanding your spouse can help. Because again, yeah, it's not right or wrong. It's just different.
We've seen we have people at Verve who would say that saved our marriage, that there were things that just bothered me until I realized, mm-hmm, oh, that's the way God, mm-hmm, made you. So like another one is there's extroverts and introverts. And
yes.
So an extrovert wants to go to the party, and then when it's over, wants to go to another party. An introvert doesn't want to go to the, mm-mm, party, and if they do, when that party's over, I need to go home and just be by myself and recharge. And so it's easy to go, well, you've got an issue, instead of going, oh, we're made different.
Yeah.
And so how do we navigate our marriage understanding that there's some different ways, mm-hmm, that we do life?
Yep.
And so, you know, we can figure that out. We can find compromise, mm-hmm, based on that. One of the ones is some people, and the letters are J and P. Some people are, the P would be spontaneous and like, hey, let's figure it out. And a J would be a planner. Well, we're both J's, but, mm-hmm, I'm a J. And Jen's, so I'm a planner. I'm going to have a plan. I'm going to stick with it. And Jen is a planner, but not as much. And so sometimes we'll struggle with that, mm-hmm, where I'll create a plan and then she'll say, well, let's scrap the plan and do something else. And I'm like, wait a second. And so again, that can cause fights,
yes,
or you can learn to appreciate that, mm-hmm, about each other. That, yeah, it's really cool that God put us together, and there's some ways we're different, mm-hmm, and we can actually complement each other, and that could be a good thing.
Yeah.
Another thing we've taught at Verve, and that just helps couples in being a student of your spouse. So the first thing might be figure out your spouse's personality, what's yours, and again, you can do this with your kids, with your boss, with your friends, and so how does that help us to understand each other and view each other as different, not wrong? Another way is love language.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that.
So love languages, there's five of them. You take like a little quick test and
so
it'll tell you.
There's a love language book online.
Yeah.
You can find stuff about this.
Yeah, totally. So words of affirmation, quality time, gifts. What are the other ones?
Serving.
Acts of service and touch.
So the love language idea would be that there is a way that I feel loved, right? So somebody could say, I love you, and maybe it just doesn't mean much to me. Somebody might buy me a gift, and I'm like, oh, like you care about me. I feel loved. And so the idea is, how do you feel loved? What makes you feel loved?
Yeah. So for us, it can be a challenge. I'm a words of affirmation person. If he's like, I love you so much, I'm like, oh, awesome. He is not. He is a quality time person, which I'm not really. And so there can be a challenge for us relationally because I am needing words of affirmation and he's needing time. Once we learn this and really put it into practice, it's helped because I honestly sacrifice me time for us time, not in like a bad way, but in a good way because I love him and I want him to feel loved. So I will sit next to him no matter what because that's what I want to do. Because that's how he feels love from me.
And so again, it's that idea of, man, we're going to submit to each other out of our reverence, out of our love for God. And so we're going to serve each other. I'm not in this marriage for me. I'm in this marriage for you. Mm-hmm. You're first, we're second, or maybe we're first, you're second. I'm last. And if we both, because you might be like, wait, if I do that, what about me? Man, if you do that, you're going to have a great marriage.
Yes.
If you both decide I'm going to serve you in this marriage, your marriage is going to be awesome. You'll be fine. You will love that. And so what if you're like, well, what if I do that, but my spouse doesn't? If you do that and your spouse doesn't, my guess is your spouse is going to come around because they're going to feel loved and served and supported. And that's going to make them start liking you more and start showing you more love. And so learning this love language thing, it's like, okay, so if yours is words of affirmation and I'm not very good at that, that doesn't come naturally to me, which it doesn't. How can I make sure I build that into our marriage? So, because I don't want you to be in a marriage where you don't feel loved. Mm-hmm. I do love you, but you need to feel that.
Yeah.
And you don't feel that by me maybe buying you a gift. I might think she's gonna love this and she might be like, thanks, that was nice of you, but it doesn't make me feel loved. So if I know it's words of affirmation, then I can go, okay, how could I do that? Like create a strategy in a sense to make sure my spouse is loved. And so one time I wrote, I don't know, 20 or 30 little notes on sticky, whatever those things are called, sticky notes.
Pads, notes, sticky, yeah.
Yeah, and put them in her car and in her whatever. And I just thought, I love you, you're a great mom, just words of affirmation. It wasn't like, I'm going to do that. I just thought of the idea. It was like a strategic thing of like, how can I make her feel loved? It's words of affirmation, not natural to me. And so again, become a student of your spouse and figure out how can, now that I know who they are, how can I make our marriage better? How can I like the one I love and help them to like me?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about communication. We all know communication is at the foundation, the heart of any relationship. And so what are some of the keys for having healthy communication that will build a healthy marriage?
I think the biggest key and really the foundation is like, be nice. Like, be kind to each other. Like, when you talk to each other, treat each other with respect. Don't curse at your wife. Don't curse at your husband.
Yeah.
talk in a respectful and kind way. There's a lot of people who will treat their friends way better than they treat their family members. So kind of, if that's you, make that shift and begin to treat your family better than you treat your friends. So that's one would be kindness. Another one that a lot of women struggle with is the tone / anger that they feel or experience from their husbands. That has been one, honestly, that we've struggled with. Vince is louder. He's animated.
Yeah. So that you might wonder what led to that? And there's probably a lot of things, but what led to her saying, I don't like you? This would have been part of it
for sure.
That I went into our marriage, again, being a T, not an F in that personality part. An F is always thinking, how are you going to feel about what I'm going to say? A T is, I just want to tell you the truth. I'm going to say it like it is. Mm-hmm. And me feeling like, that's a good thing. I'm telling you the truth. And not realizing how she, so there was that student thing of being the student of the other person. And then me realizing, man, I need to learn to talk different. I need to make a conscious effort if I'm going to be the husband I'm supposed to be, mm-hmm. to make sure, even it doesn't even occur to me. Like, I'll just say stuff and then she'll later yes. say that hurt. And I'm like, what do yes. you mean it hurt? I just said the truth. You were driving bad or that dinner was horrible. And she's like, it hurt. And I'm like, and so I had to learn, I need to be careful about my tone mm-hmm. and things that I did not intend to sound angry, sounded angry
yes.
to you.
Yeah. So watching your tone is really important because it's how you come off and that can yeah. not be your intention.
Yeah. So you talk about in communication about safety,
yes.
creating an environment of safety that so yeah. we can be vulnerable with mm-hmm. each other.
Yep. That'd emotional safety and kind of that vulnerability is one of the things that I work with a lot of couples on is building safety so that you can be vulnerable with one another. You know, the goal is for us to be one, to live as one, for him to know everything about me and me to know everything about him and to love and serve one another. If I don't feel safe, if I don't feel like I can be vulnerable with him, that's kind of, there's a wedge between us. And so figuring out and working together to tear down those walls is what we need to do. It's what we did. It took a lot of work. And honestly, we still have to work through it. I'm a more introverted, I hold things in more. And so vulnerability is difficult for me. In fact, even recently, I have asked Vince to help me to be accountable in this way, to share more of my heart with him on our dates, because it's easy for me not to. But the more that I'm vulnerable, the closer we are. And the better our marriage is.
Yeah. And I just encourage you that it may take some time if you're not in a great place right now.
Yes.
Back in that I don't like you and going to marriage mm-hmm. counseling phase, I started working really hard to be kinder to yeah. to with my tone. And I noticed it wasn't having the results I wanted it to have. And it frustrated me. And I would ask, like, you know, why is this still an issue? Because I'm acting different. Mm-hmm. And Jen used to have this thing. It's a long time ago. But she would say, it's like if you walked in my house with mud on your shoes and got mud on the carpet, it's like for a while, every time you walk up the mm-hmm. porch, I'm going to want to make sure you don't have mud on your shoes. Even if you commit to, I'm not going to have mud on my shoes anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like, you got my house dirty. And so she said, it's just going to take some time before yeah. you acting different has a different impact on me and before I feel safe and can be vulnerable, because it wasn't so great for a while. And so you might think, I've been trying for the last months and I'm not seeing a difference. Mm-hmm. It will happen. It takes time to rebuild that trust yeah. and get to that safe place again.
Yep. I think too, praying together is huge in terms of communication and healthy marriage. Pray together. Again, if you have never prayed together, or if you're at a place where you don't like each other, go slow. Like, don't jump into, well, we've got to pray together for 10 minutes a day. That's going to be overwhelming. It's not sustainable. So, like, what could you do?
Yeah. Well, I just say it's okay if it's awkward, because
yes.
I've been a pastor for 25 years and it's still kind of awkward.
Super.
I don't know why, but it's like, it's weird. It just feels a little awkward.
Yeah.
So don't let that bother you. Don't be like, mm-hmm. oh, it feels awkward. Let's not do it. Just try it. Make it short and
start like maybe one or two sentences, like,
yeah. God, we pray for our marriage.
Yeah,
like, help us get through this.
Like each other.
Help us like each other
yeah.
more. We really want to have a great marriage.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me ask you this, and this will be the last topic. What if somebody's watching and they're just like, it's too late?
Yeah.
Like, this is all good advice. I wish somebody had told it to me years ago. I wish we had always acted this way, but we haven't. It's too late. And I don't know if we can ever have the marriage we want. What would you say to that person?
It's never too late. With God, it's never too late. There's always, always hope. You know, one of the things that when I'm with my clients, I don't obviously share much of what has happened with us, but just being able to say, we were in a terrible place. Like, it was bad, and now we are so good. And these are the things that helped us to get to good. It's never too late.
And not just us. We've seen couples over our 25 years of doing ministry, me being a pastor, we've seen so many couples who are on literally many on the brink of divorce. And now years later would say, we have a great marriage.
Yeah.
And so forgiveness is possible.
Yes.
Counseling may be helpful. Mm-hmm. And we can connect you with a counselor. If you're a part of Verve, it wouldn't be Jen, but we know lots of great counselors here in Las Vegas. If you're watching and you don't live in Las Vegas, there are great counselors who can help you with your marriage in your town if that's necessary. I'll end with this. I heard a pastor named Rob tell the story of a wedding ceremony he conducted one beautiful Saturday in June. The bride wore a white summer dress. The groom wore a white linen shirt. And they insisted on the simplest ceremony possible. It was held in a park in a grove of trees. Family and friends stood in a circle with the bride and groom and the pastor in the middle. And Rob writes this. He writes, I began with a welcome. They exchanged vows and rings. I pronounced them husband and wife. They kissed. Everybody clapped. The ceremony took 7 minutes. Then they were each handed a cluster of helium balloons on strings. The balloons, I told everybody, were symbols of their past marriages, pregnancies they had chosen to terminate, people they had had affairs with when they were previously married, relationships that had not lasted. As a picture of starting over together, they wanted their first act as a married couple to, I got lost in this. They wanted their first act as a married couple. I really got lost. Oh, here it is. To be letting the balloons go, they walked out of the grove of trees into an adjoining field, just the two of them, holding hands, standing in knee-high grass, exchanging words that only they could hear. Then they raised the balloons above their heads and let them go. We all stood there watching those balloons float away until they drifted from sight. And the pastor closes by saying this, I have to believe that we can recover from anything. I have to believe that God can put anything, anyone back together. I have to believe that the God Jesus invites us to trust is as good as he says he is. Loving, forgiving, merciful, full of grace. And I have to believe that God does not run out of balloons. Listen, God is a God who forgives and gives you another chance. And if we have made him our God, we forgive and we give another chance. And that's true with whoever. And it's definitely true with your spouse. And it may not be easy. We understand that. Mm-hmm. And so let's pray and let's ask God to help us. Let's pray. God, thank you for being a God of unconditional love and forgiveness. You know, we sinned against you. Your response was to come to serve for and lay your life down for us. God, that dynamic may exist in our relationships. It may exist in our marriages that we have sinned or we have been sinned against. But because we know you, we have this power to offer unconditional love and to lay down our lives for this other person who maybe has sinned against us. God, you rose Jesus from the dead, and what we have seen is that you have the power to raise dead marriages to new life. God, if we are in a great place in our marriage, awesome. Hopefully what we talked about today can help us to continue to stay there. But if our marriage is difficult right now, if we're finding it hard to like this person we're committed to love, would you help us? Would you help us to do the things we talked about today? Would you help us look to you for hope and for the power to bring new life to our marriages? God, we know you can do that, and we ask you to help us, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.